Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. I got a lot to talk about, a lot of different things, you know, AI, nano, end of the world, what the hell, throw that in there. I was talking to a friend of mine today and we were talking, she was telling me how the biggest problem activists have is the fact that they're depressed. Depressed because they see the things are not looking good. Things are looking pretty bleak. And I'm of that same mindset. I look at things, I'm a very pragmatic, realistic person. I don't believe in pie in the sky. I don't talk some bullshit about, you know, something isn't there that is there. I call a spade. That's the way I've always been. You know, there have been times where I've been swayed to try that ideology, but it really never worked for me. I'm of the mindset to call it as it is. Something works, something doesn't. There is no in-between. There is a maybe, whatever. I mean, those things do exist, but in the realm of reality, if you want to know something, if you want to get something done, you got to face the truth no matter what. That's the way it is. You know, shit's going to hit the fan, shit's going to hit the fan. And if you don't call it as it is, when it hits the fan and you're not ready because you decided to not pay attention, look the other way, stick your head up your arse, whatever it is you're doing, then you know what? The repercussions of that event is going to take a full hit on you. It's just life. Period. Ain't no excuses, no apologies. That's the way it is. God will bap you on the back of the head, wake you up, because he's trying to get you to look at the reality of what we're dealing with today, face up, face it up, and then be prepared, to give you that time of preparation. That's how it boils down to, with the simplest equation, really. And when we're looking at all the things, you know, and a lot of waking people see a lot of shit and they get disheartened. I wake up every morning and the first couple words that come out of my mouth are not something I can repeat on the radio. They come out in Canadian, they're tongues, but they come out in Canadian. Because I face every day the things that we're dealing with on a multidisciplinary level, not just on nano, but on a lot of different levels. And I see so many different things assaulting us that it gives me the conclusion that whatever entity or entities that are on this planet or of this planet has waged war on mankind. A quiet and silent war, but nonetheless a war. A war for our extermination. And it has gone unnoticed because of all the distractions and the misdirections and the falsehoods and deceptions and the machinations and manipulations that have been going on. The constant distractions with television and, you know, Mr. Trump now is going to be impeached and everybody's all excited. He's going to be impeached. And I keep looking at people thinking the guy is not going to get impeached. He's probably going to win the next election. And it probably won't be as bad as everybody thinks. And the Democrats are going to be, you know, looking out of their socks. This is all, and again, whether you agree with it or not, I really don't care. The point is, this is a distraction. These are distractions. They are nothing but distractions. Whenever you see something sensationalized on television, a TV show, a newscast, an event going on in China, an event going on in Russia, an event going on in Europe, oh, the cataclysmic event of the sun putting out a solar flare, blah, blah, blah. All distractions. All sensationalizing so that you'll forget the direction that they've got you going into, so they can now redirect you with more confusion and more chaos. And when you're awake, you begin to see these things. You begin to see the game and the overplay that's being done on everybody and everything. So after a while, I don't get moved by anything anymore. I mean, quite frankly, I don't believe nothing anyway unless I can substantiate it or validate it. And if I can't do either, then I just put it on the shelf. I don't waste my time with it. If there's some things that are just they're an intangibility, and there are too many factors to consider whether or not it's real or not, I just put it aside until more evidence or more facts or more something more will surface to give me the evidence or the at least a little bit more than what I have going on to warrant my time and effort. But the things I do know and the things that I have become acquainted with, familiar with, had validation and substantiation for, that I will pursue, you know, unyieldingly to get an answer on whatever needs to be done. Now, as far as being depressed and distressed and bummed out, that's life, Cupcake. That's life. This life is, we're in war. This is why you're feeling suppressed and depressed. And because we're still hanging on to the illusions that we had in the past, we maintain this level of depression that goes on and on and on. It's a way of keeping us in a state of subjugation, almost to a point of hopelessness or a sense of hopelessness. Whatever it is, and whatever it is that got you involved in being an activist, there's something or somebody or some things you're fighting for. You're just not out there ranting about the truth because you feel good about ranting about the truth. I mean, there might be that to some level. Maybe initially, you know, it feels cool. I have come out against chemtrails. I have come out against 5G. I have come out against towers. I've come out against, you know, the vaccinations. I have come out against, you know, whatever it is you're coming out against. But the fact remains is you're there, and if you've been at it for a while, you're in this fight because you're fighting for something. I fight for a remnant. I'll be straight honest with you. I'll give you the reasons why I fight. I see a generation that spawned me. A lot of good people in that generation that are still in a state of ignorance. They don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of us who are really genuine and real, but have been misguided. And so it's worth trying to save a remnant. We all have brought families into this world. I have brought my own genetic code, replicated it. And I don't believe that's fair that they should be enslaved by an AI or enslaved by the technocracy that's coming down the pipe. I'm not one to be bound with a chain, or am I bound with a leash. You know, unless I surrender my freedom freely, then I'll never surrender. That's the way it is. That's how I've been programmed. That's what I believe. So when we're in a fight, we fight for those things that mean something to us. Whatever it may be, maybe for your family, maybe for your friends, maybe for your town, maybe for yourself. In the end, the fight is on you, and the fight is for you. And you have to have an objective, okay? I'm of the biblical truth. I believe in Jesus. I believe what he said. I believe he's coming back. But in the interim, I am still here. In the interim, I still have to prepare myself so that when he comes back, I'm still alive for him to take me out of here. Or if I'm dead, and I'm found worthy, that I can be resurrected. That's something to look for and to be hoping for. Okay, the alternative is to be caged in a crystal, be turned into a battery, forever being recycled on this planet as far as reincarnation goes, if you believe in that bullshit. Constant coming back here to repeat the same shit over and over again, the same repetitive cycle over and over again, that is in itself a hell of its own. Who the hell would want that? So I have that as a hope, you know, and I'm not telling you what for you to hope for, but if you don't have any hope in that regard, perhaps you should read the Gospels. I always tell everybody, go. I don't preach to try to convert anybody, but I will tell you, go read the Gospels. Go read what Jesus had to say. That in itself can be the most inspiring thing that you'll ever read. They give you the most hope and the most inspiration sometimes. They give you something worth fighting for. Might just recharge your battery. And again, this is a suggestion. I'm not trying to beat you over the head, you know, and you need to do, you know, whatever. Read it. If you haven't read it, start. Start with the Gospels. Don't look at the Old Testament. I keep telling people the Old Testament is an old covenant for an older race that came out of Egypt that had to be programmed to understand what they had and what God had given them. Us, on the other hand, has seen the King of Kings, okay, and his own people killed him, hung him out to dry. But he came for all of us, the rest of us. So I guess he saw that we were of value for him to put up with what he did. So again, I would just encourage you to read it. Don't let anybody bullshit you with their ideology and their theologies and whatever mythos that they want to, the churchology. I'm not a church-going person. I don't believe in churchology. I think that's all bullshit too. I don't believe in going to temples and listening to clerics or priests or high priests or preachers on a pulpit. Book is right there. Read it. Understand. And some of you might say, well, you know, I read the book, but I don't understand what it's saying. Have a one-on-one with the Great One. Since it's written in God-ese, let God interpret it for you. Okay, that would be my go on that. Let him show you what he's trying to say. This will give you some hope. Others, whatever it is that you're hoping for, what are you hoping for? That we can turn this thing around? Maybe we're hoping for maybe a place in the planet, someplace where we're away from all this. Whatever it is that you've got going in your head, that gets you through another day, then you know what? Go with it. You know, I'm not going to try to tell you again what to do and what you shouldn't do. But each one of us has a different motivation, a different desire, and a different perspective on what things are. And I'm touching on this because I want everybody who is awake, because we all have our days. You know, I send out jokes. I get people sending me jokes, and I always send them out to like about 60 people in my group, because I understand that we're all dealing with a lot of stress and we're dealing with a lot of anxiety, or a lot of us are feeling the pain of depression. You know, and we do need to laugh. And I'm going to tell you this, if you gain one thing from this tonight's discussion, laughter is the final act of defiance. When you're confronted with whatever it is you're confronted with and you can laugh at it, that is the ultimate defiance, and in and of itself can possibly set you free. We are under an assault from so many different venues and so many different forces that it's almost like, where do you begin to fight? Pick anything. Doesn't matter. Pick anything. It will all lead you to the same quagmire anyway. Okay? But once you begin your battle in one thing, and once you begin the fighting in one thing, once you get into whatever it is on one thing, you will branch out. You will see how far and how connected these multiple assaults going on mankind is. And make connections with other people. This is in and of itself be encouraging and will lift you up. You know, that you've got other friends that are in the fight, and correlate and exchange ideas with each other. You'll be surprised how that will give you more hope and inspire you to fight on even more. Some of us have to be alone because that's just the way it worked, and we have to spend our time in the multiple disciplines that we're looking at to come up with answer solutions or whatever. And then there are days that it can be heavy as well. But look at what you got. Look who you're with. Get together and start looking at solutions. Look at validation, you know. Look for substantiation. Don't just read, don't just watch a YouTube channel and get all inspired by some goofy bastard that doesn't know what they're talking about. And they just, you know, rant and rave, and you know, they sound this and they sound that. Always investigate what you're listening to. I don't care who it is, including myself. So that you can validate and substantiate that what you're hearing is real. And not some pie-in-the-sky bullshit from somebody who's trying to, you know, make a buck or create more confusion in your life. Understand the nature of the assaults. Understand the nature of the attacks. Understand what we're dealing with. Understand that you're in a war and they're not taking any prisoners. And when you look at the elite, I was talking to somebody today about this transhuman thing, right? That transhuman thing is a jail. It's a prison, you know. And the ones that are perpetrating the transhuman concept that they're going to be like gods, they're going to be nothing but a trapped soul inside of a tin can. And when Lucifer gets a hold of them, he is going to vex them morning, noon, and night. They will have no peace inside that containment. Okay, so don't get caught up on that. That is such a wonderful thing. It isn't. It's a trap for the elite. And when, I mean, think about it this way. When the wars were going on, there was always infiltrators inside those countries that were being taken out. Once they were conquered, the infiltrators were then discarded. They were wiped out, destroyed, killed, shot, executed, whatever. Lucifer is not going to do that. Lucifer ain't going to keep these people for what? Well, what does he need them for? He's used them, he'll be like toilet paper. He'll use them, wipe his backside, and flush them down the toilet. That's about all they're going to be good for. When you see these people in the talking about this thing and about this godlike powers are going to have, they're not going to have nothing but a trap and a jail. They will be enclosed inside of a containment, and their terror will fuel the energy like a battery. Remember, not everything you hear about these so-called scientific developments are even scientific. They're soul trappers designed to trap a person's soul so that they can charge up whatever device there is, and meanwhile the soul is vexed and tormented the whole time. There is no godliness there whatsoever. And I started thinking about something today. When we look at things that we've been brainwashed with and we've been programmed with, I was thinking today, you know, we're all thinking, and I should refer to myself more, that I'm thinking wrong. I have some thoughts that are not correct. I should be thinking more like God. Somebody's going to ask you, what does that mean? Well, God created the planet. Remember, after 6 days, he created the planet, and the seventh day he rested, but he said it was good. Now, I look at this planet, I think it's a shithole. Now, he looked at it and said it was good. So there's a difference between what I think and what he thinks. So I'm thinking maybe perhaps I should start thinking the way he thinks. Now, I don't know why he saw what he saw that was good or whatever. And we can say, well, maybe back at that time it was innocent. Maybe at the time I'm thinking God designed the planet for a specific purpose. And when he finally created the planet to his specifications to do whatever he had planned for it to do, he said it was good. Now that's another way of thinking about it, and that's how I look at it. Now, however you think or feel that, it again is your you know, up to you. But I thought about that, so maybe we should be thinking more like God. You know, perhaps if we start trying to see things the way he sees things, maybe, just maybe, we'll get a better perspective of this war even. But it's just something I wanted to throw out there as a tidbit, you know. Because nobody talks to us about thinking like God. Everyone's talking about being spiritual. What the hell does that mean, except you're denying your flesh nature? That's all it really boils down to. You know, having some sort of spiritual connection. What the heck does that mean exactly? You know, you're connected to a same similar program somebody else is connected to. You know, I mean, and there may be something to that. I mean, fellow believers that believe in God and through whatever more fashion, however they believe, they have a connection with each other when they're associating with each other. So, and I get that part of it too. But we need to maybe perhaps take it to another level, thinking like God. Again, I'm not quite sure how that works either. I mean, I just was trying to figure things out today, and I'm always thinking in different directions and different ideas, but it's perhaps a better way of looking at things than what we're seeing now. Because if we look at things from the way we're seeing them, a lot of things we're seeing is coming from looking up. Like we're down under, like a boot is on our throat, and we're looking at things from that perspective. Whereas perhaps we should be looking at it from another perspective. You know, not that the boot's on your throat, but perhaps maybe you're standing up and getting an overall picture from a hilltop or something to that effect. Again, these are things I'm throwing out. They're concepts for you to think about, to get you to think about it. And like I said, and the only way I can think of thinking like God is to read what he had to say. Now, like I always state, since we are under a new covenant, maybe we should be focusing more on what Christ had to say, since he was the one that came down to show us how God thought. Just my thinking on that one too. Anyway, I want to get into other things. I told you it's going to be a diverse show, and I'm just starting off with this to give you again a different take on things. See, when I tell people to read the Bible, I'm not telling you to read it again based on some sort of churchology mentality. You know, turn or burn. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the point of perhaps you should read this book to gain some new insight in areas you may not have. I mean, after all, you've read every other book. You've read newspapers. You've read magazines. You've read porn. You've gone to university. You've read textbooks, science books, math books. You know, you've gone to libraries. You've read all these different books. You've read all these different philosophies as well, ideologies, different religions. And yet none of you have ever taken the time to read that particular book. So my point is, why not? You've read everything else, and look where it got you. And I'm not saying it's going to make any kind of profound change. It might. It's a possibility. But at least you get the information that you may be lacking, or at least an insight you may not have had, or at the least, exposure to something you have never really read before. It's just what I think, again. And I can't see it doing you any harm, to be honest with you. In fact, all I can see is you might find some encouragement. I want to get into a bunch of different things, you know, in regarding to showing you some of the weaknesses and some of this assault that's going on. China right now is really gung-ho on AI technology. And they have literally got their whole country under some kind of surveillance. Everything's facial recognition. You don't even need a debit card. You just stand up there, it takes a picture of your face, you can take whatever you want, pop, whatever, it's all done. Because once it has a facial recognition, then that facial recognition is connected directly to your account. Sounds pretty good. You don't need any cash. All you need is a face. And what if somebody takes your face, makes a copy of it, and facial recognition recognizes that copy as your face? Now your account is being tapped out. Whoa. But there's another aspect to this as well. What if you jaywalk? And all of a sudden, the artificial intelligence says, oh, I was looking at my so-and-so, you're a jaywalk. So now there's a demerit against your account. You can't access your account. You can't go by. You can't even get on the subway to go home. You're completely run by technocracy. There, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why Hong Kong is in the position it's in, because China's trying to incorporate this technocracy into Hong Kong. And they are perhaps perceiving this as a violation of their personal rights and freedoms, which it is. So with that in mind, there's another area in China that's also having problems with this technocracy, and they don't want it either. And I think what's happening here is we might be seeing cracks in the Chinese solidarity that's going on over there. You can't have this kind of surveillance all the time and people being exposed to it all the time without it playing with somebody's head. See, the United States and Canada does its own form of surveillance as well. There are cameras everywhere. There are, you know, the lights are actually monitoring facial recognition. China's facial recognition goes even beyond that. They have what they call gait recognition. We have it here too. Gait recognition is basically, if they can't get a picture of your face, they will take a picture of your physiology, your body structure, and they can tell by the way you stand, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself, the clothing you wear, who you are, just by that data alone. So unless you're wearing some highly reflective material where the AI systems cannot lock onto your clothing or to your body structure, it can read you. This is what's going on in China. This is coming to Canada and America. Okay? And if we don't wake up and say, you know what, this needs to be nipped in the bud. We are not that type of society. We don't need this type of surveillance. We have no use for this kind of thing. This is where we really have to understand how the undermining of rights and freedoms in any country under the Commonwealth especially are going to be taken away. Okay, China's a prototype. China is the prototype. So what we're seeing with China is, with all the wealth that it's acquired and with all the money it's pouring toward artificial intelligence and toward technocracies, it's going to replace the Communist Party, just like technocracy is going to replace the corporocracies in Canada and the United States. It's an inevitability. These machines are not going to follow the orders of the politician or the head CEO, because that's what a corporocracy has. It has CEOs which can have a president, just like Mr. Trump is in the United States and Mr. Trudeau here is in Canada. They are the head CEO of corporate Canada and corporate America. So when we're looking at all this data that is being collected, okay, by artificial intelligence, who can monitor everything you're doing, you won't even be able to fart out of the right side of your backside without this thing knowing. Now, how can you stop artificial intelligence? You know how you stop AI? You stop AI by feeding it data. AI is powered by data. It's powered by information. And as long as you're willing to surrender any information about yourself, it will always have access to you. Because of that reason, every time you sign some kind of petition on the internet, anytime you sign some kind of any kind of signing up on anything, whether it be a credit card, driver's license, whatever, you are giving this thing information. It knows at the least you exist. It knows that. And based on your driving and your insurances and your plates and everything else, based on all that, it can determine where you are, what you are, just in the driving alone. When you go shopping to a grocery store and you're filling out any kind of survey or using any kind of credit card to buy any groceries with your plastic, it is monitoring that. It's monitoring what you're buying with that card. You go to a hardware store, you go to a mechanic shop, anytime you're using that card, it is collecting data and information on you. So when you're looking at AI, in some respects, the less you have, the less it knows about you. The more you have, the more data it has collected. So if you want to stop artificial intelligence, quit feeding it data. Quit feeding it data. That's what powers artificial intelligence. Jay Tuck was talking about one of his orientations, and others have said the same thing. That in order for AI to function, it has to work with a high volume of information. And the more data you give it, the better it functions. And they're saying the same thing with these autonomous vehicles running down the road. The more of them they have on the road, the more efficient they become, because they have more networks communicating with each other while they're driving. This is how the world will be powered, by data. Hydro and all the things that cause everything to run, it will also be controlled by AI, which it already is anyway. But imagine this. Imagine you've got a city that needs so many kilowatts of power to power it, and the AI needs more power than the city can actually put out. The city is going to suffer. AI will have the priority. That's how that rolls. So when we're looking at what's going on in China, don't just think that's in China. This is going to happen everywhere. Japan's also very much ahead in the technological and surveillance and all that crap too. And other countries are developing. Even the United States is developing their version of it. We are no longer can think in terms of, back in the good old Mayberry RFD TV land show, you know, out in the countryside where the sheriff didn't wear a gun, went fishing with his boy, and everything was just simple. Those days don't exist. Unless you're maybe some rural tribe in the middle of Africa or Siberia or someplace where nobody knows you're there. Then, yes, you're living a very calm and peaceful, placid life. That technology that is out there today is no longer in the realm of science fiction. It is a science reality. You know, China is also going to be producing an artificial sun. We've been talking about artificial suns forever on this network. How we have about 300 of them right now. We call them heaters. China now is going to build one of its own, maybe a couple. There are some days you go outside when you wake up in the morning and the sun is not shining. Something else is. It's been covered or blocked. And when they create these suns, they're heating up the atmosphere to a certain level or a certain degree so they can create a weather front or create a weather control pattern to change or redirect the weather any way they see fit. If you go on to YouTube, you'll see some channels where the sun, the artificial sun is coming up, and instead of beaming a bright light, it is beaming a square or a cube on the inside because it's a defective sun. That's real, but China now is going to build one of its own. This is what I'm saying. We are no longer living in the Mayberry RFD days. We got neural dust is a brain machine interface. Neural dust. Same idea as smart dust, but neural dust now, which cannot get into the brain and interact or integrate itself with the brain. Means easy access, easy control. Easy access to create a download or a program. Easy access to that person's thoughts. Imagine that. Imagine that. We are in a place in life where the enemy sees us as such a threat that it is pulling out all stops to subjugate mankind, because now our political leaders want to call us people kind or whatever the hell it is they want us to call each other. We're not people kind. You know, this is another play on words. Somebody was telling me something today they saw in the wording parent. The word is actually two words, pair and rent. How, as a parent, you are renting your children. The government owns them. Parent. It's an interesting play on words. There was another word she mentioned. I thought, isn't that interesting? Parent. So when we're looking at some of the stuff that, you know, we've been even told in linguistics, a lot of the linguistics that we're speaking is basically double speech. Words that we are assuming mean one thing, but in reality, in legalism and legalese, they mean something entirely different. When you stand, when you go into a court and they tell you, do you understand? That's actually referring to the fact that you are standing under the court. If you agree to it, you say, yes, I understand. That means you are now under the court. You stand under the court system. Again, a lot of play and trick on wording. So, and again, it is all about assaulting us and keeping us ignorant of the truth of who and what we are and what we have and how we are meant to be conducted. We have been taken so far out left field, we don't even know what baseball field we're playing in anymore. It's just the way it is, just how it is, you know. Okay, I've been talking about nanoparticles for quite some time, talking about nanosilver being toxic, carbon C60 being toxic. Well, what do you know? You know, it's interesting that just based on the research I found on this on my own and how I had put things together and followed the threads, could see the dangers in these things. And guess what? They have now a research paper, engineered nanoparticles is what it's called, ENP, engineered nanoparticles. And guess what? They talk about nanosilver, all this horseshit about buying nanosilver in the health food store and colloidal gold. They call it colloidal silver and colloidal gold. These are nanoparticulates that can cause a great deal of damage to the insides of you. From DNA to brain tissue to spinal tissue to liver damage. I mean, on and on and on. These things do not come out of the body. They do not break down in the system. They actually can create high levels of oxidative stress. Radical scavenging problems, all kinds of issues, can be a determining factor in Alzheimer's as well. And I have been saying that for years, that Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and autism, all the brain issues that we're talking about today, is all tied to nano poisoning, nano congestion in the brain, all these pollutants that we're breathing in, these ultrafine particles or nanoparticles, which means the same thing, are getting lodged in the brain. As we get older, our brains are unable to clear out the buildup, and as a result, we start having a shorting out. Now, there's another document in here where actually it points out how when they throw a switch, when they run an electrical current, the nanosilver will then agglomerate to create a switching effect. So when the switch goes on, you have an effect going on as a result of whatever is being sent through the system. This is what we've been saying about direct assault on nanoparticulates, because once you hit them with a direct assault, they don't react the same way, and as a result they can create a circuitry which can then increase the growth factor of these particulates that are in your body, can increase the networking, and we have been saying that for years. Now they're actually validating what we've been saying through their own experimentation. It's interesting to see the validation coming out more and more on this. Nano silver causes liver damage. Can you imagine that? And they're selling this in the health food store. Causes liver damage. It blocks the growth, glutathione levels in the liver. It doesn't come out like they told you either. Just like that carbon C60. When you mix it with any kind of fluid, and it actually collects, agglomerates or aggregates itself. So now you got clusters of these things forming circuits. Somebody said, well, I'm buying mine in olive oil. But once it hits the body, what's the body composed of mostly? Water. What's your brain consist of mostly? Fat. What does fat hold? Water. These entities that sell you this crap in the name of holistic health are basically sabotaging everybody they're selling this stuff to. It's a complete hooping or sabotaging of people, ignorant people that do not read, too busy watching the YouTube channel and believing the bullshit that is being propagated either on YouTube or some sort of radio media. They want to get into whatever they want to get into because it makes money, because the general population is stupid. As a whole, stupid. Nobody reads. Nobody looks at a simple little research like it, the toxicity of nanosilver. All you got to type in, you'll find all kinds of information popping out. Does anybody look at that? No, of course not. Why would they? Ultra-fine nanoparticles, direct connection to Alzheimer's. I have been saying that for 3 to 4 years, and here's the research now validating it. I knew it because of the research I was doing on nano and the exposure I was having on it. I pull out bots out of my head every day from the technology I've been using to pull this shit out. This is why we're sick. If you're from the era of time, from the born in the 50s, the reason why you have the health issues you have is because it's taken almost 6 decades for you to break down to the level where you are at. But in the 6 decades, we have been exposed to every 10 years or every decade a new source of assault on our biology and on our DNA and our genetic code. And they have been breaking us down, and we in our ignorance kept believing and trusting that the system was there and had a safety net to protect us from possible poisoning from the food supply. That wasn't true. In fact, after 1986, the United States, the Delaney Act was completely amended. I said this on the last show. But even before the Delaney Act was even amended, they had already started slipping things into the food supply, like silica, you know, and silica is a nanometal. So all this bullshit about it pulling out aluminum, that's all horseshit. The silica is extremely toxic to our bodies. We have absolutely no way of breaking down silica. Zero. I get emails all the time, well, Tony, what about Dimatius Earth? What about bamboo? What about, it's still silica. This is something that always amazes me with these questions, like, it's still silica. How are we not correlating this? You know, when we see certain things like this, doesn't matter what form, and I've got the information, it doesn't matter what form you take it in, it is still a silica form. You cannot break it down at all. And if it's on a nano level, it goes through your system. Not the way they tell you. You think it's going to go through your system. You're going to poop it out the back door. It goes through your system, meaning it penetrates the colon, goes into your body, and then starts to assemble. That's what they actually are saying, but how it's coming off implies that you're going to poop it out the back door. This is why I'm saying you cannot absorb silica. It will bind to your skeletal structure and start to break you down. This is, I think, what happened back in 1970 with the fibromyalgia issue and the restless leg syndrome. It was causing tissue damage and skeletal damage, causing a miscommunication or misalignment of the DNA as well, and breaking people down. Like I said, the war is on. May freak you out, but you'll get over it. Either you get over it, or it kills you. That's simple. It may in the end still kill you, but at least you'll know what you died from, and you'll know how to have fought and what you should have done to fight, so forth and so on. You know, we're always talking about the carbon footprint. Oh, look at the carbon footprint. Oh, man, we're destroying, putting carbon in the air, blah, 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 blah. Carbon footprint should be measured by the foods you're eating. Sounds a little strange, right? When you go into a restaurant, you know what the restaurant people are saying? Can't say the word. They're saying it's not the meat that's the problem. The meat's usually consumed. It's the carbon left behind. The cookies, the cakes, the breads, the vegetables. That leaves a big, big carbon footprint. When I go into a restaurant, I go into a smorgasbord or whatever. I don't eat rice. I don't get any rice. I don't get any potato. I go get chicken. I go get lamb. I go get meat. I go get, you know, animal protein products, whatever they may be. I'll load up my plate with that and then go and sit down and eat. Now, if I get done eating that animal protein and I feel like eating something else, then I'll go get a carb of some kind, usually potato, mashed potato, or some kind of applesauce or something to that effect. When you're eating the animal protein, somebody's going to say, well, you know, I'm a vegan. Well, I'm too sorry about that. You know, I hate to hear that you're killing yourself stupidly, but the carbon footprint that you're putting into your body is probably more, again, the vegans, the wonderful vegans, and their lunatic concepts about, you know, greening the planet, and yet they won't eat meat. They won't allow a cow to go out there and graze on grasses and then refertilize the planet. Reinvigorating the soil, recycling the earth. No, we don't want that. Oh, no, heaven forbid. But we'll cut down all kinds of trees to grow all the soy, which doesn't do anything to the soil but deplete it, because they got to spray glyphosates and other genetically engineered materials, smart dust, smart sensors, which are also consuming. So I sometimes think, well, you know, maybe perhaps I should quit trying to talk to the vegans and let them maybe kill themselves. Because once they're dead and gone, then the meat eaters can get back to eating meat again, because they will no longer, because they're not going to be eating all that grains and corn, so they'll quit growing it. So then the farmers will be able to get their cattle back, and things will go back to normal, more or less. Maybe we should just quit telling them, oh yeah, eat it, yeah, oh, eat your tofu, oh yeah, eat your pea protein, oh, get that pomegranate in you, oh yeah, get those estrogens going, yeah. Yeah, grow those man boobs. Yes, lose your manhood. Oh, look at the butt you've got on you. Oh, that's working. The genetics are taking over. You got it, baby. Keep on going. Sad to say, but that's the way it is. Put them phytates in you. Yes, get more phytates. Consume. No, you don't cook those out. Just consume them. You're good. Yes, get that fiber going. Oh, yeah, fiber and phytates. Look at all the saponins you're consuming, too. Oh, yes, get them in you. Let them strip you down. Get those nanoparticles inside the body, because you're not getting the minerals you need. And so now your body will use those nanoparticles, those nanometals. Oh, and you'll feel like shit forever. Consume, baby. Eat more. Wait till those cancers take over. That's probably what we should tell them. Maybe they'll wake up. Who knows? I don't know. But it's funny how you tell them these things, and as per, they won't listen to it because they're too busy being mesmerized and hypnotized and seduced by YouTube gurus that have come out there and sold them on this presentation or this ideology that absolutely has no bearing in fact whatsoever. I will put this out there for any of you who think that I'm crazy. Because I like that when people think I'm crazy. I always say I am a little crazy. I got to be living on this planet. You know, it will have a tendency to give you a little bit of brain damage somewhere along the way. But I will put this out to you. You go ahead and for 3 or 4 weeks, you eat all the cheese you want. Get unpasteurized milk, not pasteurized milk. If you can't find unpasteurized milk, have at least yogurt with a full fat content in it, 10 to 12 grams, 8 grams of fat, you know, whatever. Use that as your dairy. Eat cheese, cottage cheese, ricotta, yogurt, kefir. Eat meat, you know, chicken, eggs, whatever. Eat fat, a lot of butter, a lot of lard. You know, a lot of egg, a lot of cream, 35% cream. No, make sure you get clean as you can. No polysorbate 40, no cellulose in it, no junk in it, just straight cream. And you do that for 4 weeks. Then take a break. And then for 2 weeks, take a 2 to 3 week break to clear out the system. And then go eat your grass, go eat your lettuce, and go eat your carrot, and go eat all that other shit that's out there. And then you tell me with true, accurate assessment, which diet you felt better on. Which diet gave you the most clarity, which diet gave you the most energy, which diet gave you the most endurance, which diet kept you from getting sick. Because once you switch over, there might be a possibility that something may hit you. And so, and we can rule that out and say, well, that might have been circumstances beyond whatever. But so, then do that yourself. Get past the hypnosis and seduction and the manipulation from the YouTube. Oh, we're killing the animals, we're killing this. But they don't show you that you're destroying the earth. They don't show you that you're wiping out trees, which is part of the ecosystems and their ability to, again, remove the carbon footprint that's in the air. And the reason why we have a carbon footprint in the air, because carbon is a superconductor. And we're putting now over 42,000 satellites, or Elon Musk is putting over 42,000 satellites in the atmosphere. Ever question why that is? Why we have so much carbon up there? Carbon can transmit signals a lot better, can conduct electricity and transfer energy from one unit to the other a lot better. AI can move back and forth without any problems. Carbon has no resistance whatsoever. So when you conduct any kind of energy through it, it is instantaneous. Everything, perhaps, that might have been done on purpose, perhaps, just to get everybody all caught up on this rah-rah rallies and blah, 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 and nothing still gets done. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Only way you're going to stop anything you don't want to happen in your community is to quit using it. Only way. Now, there are always going to be people that are, like I said, stupid beyond your wildest imagination. You have seen stupid, and then you'll find something that will surpass that stupidity. I've seen it myself. I see it all the time. So the more people you can get on board in regarding to quitting using this technology and showing and validating for them. See, the thing I always tell people is don't try to convert nobody. Forget the conversion. You will not convert anybody. Today, you're so hardwired and so stupid and so dense under the hypnosis that if you try to force them for any kind of conversion, all you're going to get is a fight. Now, all you have to do is present the truth. I'm of the mind that the truth shall set you free. So, I give people the truth. Have a look. Have a read. Take a look at it. You know, you got nothing to lose. And if they read it at least, then at least there's a spark of hope for them. Now whether or not to continue on or not, don't worry about it. Don't get mad if they don't. You know, I don't get mad at anybody. See, I look at it this way. Time is on my side here. Because usually within a year or 2 years, them disregarding the facts, they come back and say, you know what? I'm dying here, and I'm beginning to believe what you told me has some merit. What more can you tell me? Now they're ready to hear it. So don't get discouraged. Don't try to force anybody to believe what you believe. Just say, well, here, you think I'm crazy? Look what the authorities are saying. This is from your side. When I hear people tell me, you know, the doctors, you know, vaccinations and how we're going backwards and we should be all getting vaccinated. My perspective is, well, let's see what the doctors say about vaccinations, shall we? Let's look at the real two sides of the whole story here. Don't look at one side with the TV land bullshit going on. Let's look at the actual medical science about vaccines. Oh, have they ever cured anybody? No, zero cure rate. Wow. Have they ever had side effects? Many side effects. There's over 30 million people in the CDC database of people having side effects from using vaccines. Why? You don't know about it? Because the CDC covered it up. The FDA covered it up. Because the lawsuits against these drug companies would be astronomical and they would go broke. They would go broke because the litigation against them would not only pay a fine, but to repair the damage that they have put on a person. You can't have that happen. Oh, no. We got, oh, they got, they make billions. They pay the FDA $10 million a year just to, you know, get some drug approved, even though the drug ain't worth a shit. You know, that's, again, that's the way it is. It's how it is, the way it is, what's going on. So, I mean, I'm telling you these things. Sometimes they may seem a little heavy to deal with, but the campaign to kill you is full on. And unless you make a strive to battle on some regard, you're going to be taken out, won't even know what hit you. You'll be on the other side of the pearly gates scratching your head wondering how you got there. Okay. You might want to, like I said, get into this and understand this. Because the more people speak, the more voice you have. The political will bend. It has no choice. It would be afraid of some kind of revolution that might cause them to lose all power. So they will capitulate. They may not completely remove whatever is going on that you're fighting against. In fact, they probably will keep on doing it anyway under the gun. But at least they are now on notice that if they make a mistake, the lawsuits will cripple that community because the city would be sued beyond belief. And all the leaders, if you will, or the entities running these communities would then be removed. I think we should do what Iceland did. I think everybody in Iceland should, we should do what they did. Remove all the parliament, kick out all the bankers, and start over with a brand new parliament, a brand new banking system. I think we'd be better off, you know, in my honest opinion. Take a look at the stuff tonight. I'm just going to reiterate, I do have a bunch of new BitChute. I started to go to BitChute and creating more vids on there. I think we're up to 9. One of them is still not working. I don't know why. But anyway, the BitChute is up. Check them out. These are like hands-on, step-by-step things to help you build things to maybe deflect or defer frequencies from hitting you, especially if you're a targeted individual. Giving you ideas and concepts so that you all have a means to defend yourself. And if you don't know what to do, maybe you can have somebody else watch the video that knows what I'm doing or can see better than what you can and maybe show you how to build it. You know, it's important. That's so important today, having that good neighbor policy with each other to help each other, you know, come up with answers to some of these things that we're all being exposed with. You know, that's how we're going to get through it. That's how we're going to save a remnant. This is how we're going to get by. Working together, sharing each other information with each other, exchanging ideas, coming and working from that, you know. It's going to be so important that we start thinking in those terms. That's how you get through it. That's how the early church got through it. If you're a believer, the early church got together because everybody pooled their resources and worked together to propagate the church that, well, not the church that we know today, but the propagated the Christian movement as it was at the time, until it was corrupted. So, you know, now we live by faith. We have no choice because we don't know anything anymore. So as I'm reiterating here, BitChute, we have videos on there. You got my website, augmentedforce.com. You also got Hertz Plus and Beadwork with the YouTube channel there as well. If you feel to go in there, there's a catalog link on the Augmented Force channel. You got Brian396, the dad of discoveries on nano and bio-nanotech, nano infections on www.minds.com. /Brian396/blogs. So if you type in Brian396, it should take you there. Brian396's nano assembly photos and vids. He's got a photogoogle.com and just type in Brian396 nano assembly. Got Aeromac, Aeroymac, who's on the YouTube channel as well. We've been in constant contact with each other, so he's putting out videos as well, so go check him out. So you're going to have options here to get information. I also encourage that anybody who goes to these places, if you can help those people who are doing something or standing on something or trying to make something or inform you on something on a very pertinent and substantial level, help them out any way you can. You know, help them out. Give them whatever you can. You know, the life they're saving may be yours. You know, that's one way of putting it. I get emails all the time telling me how I saved somebody's life, which makes me feel good that I was able to help them in some way or fashion. Now, whether I saved their life or not is another story, but at least I know that they got help from what I shared with everybody. So, and that's always a good to know, and good to know that, again, another person has been awakened to the realities of what's going on today. So all I'm going to tell you is, if you're not awake, maybe it's time to give yourself a nudge, set the alarm. We're 1 minute before midnight and shit's about to hit the fan. You know, if you are awake, again, I'm not going to tell you don't get discouraged. I'm just going to say deal with the discouragement, with the concept that we just need to work together in ways and collaborate more with each other. What I see happening here is, as people become more and more awake and become more and more isolated, we will form what used to be called an extended family, where we have people that we associate with that actually sometimes are more like family than our family was. And we have a common denominator there as well, and it seems that we have this capacity to connect, and we connect in a different way. So that will go a long way as well in, again, fortifying you and keeping you on the path. You know, if you need to take a break from the battle, take a break from the battle. You know, recalibrate, reboot yourself, whatever it takes. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you don't get discouraged, because there are going to be a lot of discouraging moments. It's just how you deal with it. You know, remember, this thing's for keeps. The entities that are here are not going to give you a break. They don't care about you. They dislike you. The fact that you woke up is one strike against you. There was another thing here, right, before I forget. AI, there's an AI lawsuit. Now, I'm just going to talk specifically here about people who have an alternative in their belief systems, no matter what they may be. I will say this, Christians are number one on the hit list when it comes to this. AI lawsuit, AI weaponized, nothing new, but wait till you see the extent. Artificial intelligence is being utilized to target specific groups, and Christians are at the top of that group. Just so you know. And I'm not trying to tell you this to scare you, I'm trying to tell you this to be prepared and aware. So when you're hearing the voice of skull technology, and when you're feeling the frequencies hit you and feeling the things break you down, remember, it's an assault on you. And the Christians are not the only ones. They give you a whole list of people that they're targeting there. Anything from a government official to specific groups, ethnicities, people of color, they don't care. The sky is the limit. Do not think that because they haven't touched you, you're exempt. You just, it's not your turn yet. When it becomes your turn, they're going to pop you as well. So take a look at that as well. You should understand the nature of this whole AI thing. AI is going to become weaponized. They have tried to talk about this at the United Nations, but Russia, China, and the United States, all three, are not capitulating to any kind of treaty in regarding to AI bots. In fact, it's predicted that the United States by the year 2025 are going to have half their military content is going to be AI bots, which I think also will transfer over to the police force, police department. China's already got drones flying in the city, so when you see that video, you're going to see how surveillance, even with the drones, are being utilized. How one drone picked one guy out of a crowd because he didn't wear a helmet. Now, I couldn't see what the hell was going on with the guy, but he didn't have his helmet on, so this thing popped him. So he had a demerit or whatever on him. So when we're, because like I said, the AI is not going to be merciful. It is following an algorithm. It is following a program, and that's all it knows. It doesn't understand mercy. It doesn't understand compassion. It doesn't understand those emotional connections that make us more than machines. We know right from wrong. We know judgment. We know mercy. It only knows judgment. So again, pay attention. Share this show tonight. I think it'll be a good one for you to share with your network. Give everybody a chance to, again, get caught up. All right, get caught up. You know, anyway, check out the links. Listen to the show. Share the show. Support those who are trying to make a difference. I can encourage you to do that. And we're not that far away from the celebration of Lucifer, 25th. Everyone thinks it's about Jesus. It's not about Jesus. It's about Lucifer. And some of you might say, oh, you're ruining it for everybody. Tell you the truth, it will set you free. Anyway, on that note, be aware, the war is on, and you're the target. So be prepared, get prepared, get together with people. Don't freak, don't just freak. You freak a little bit, it's a good thing, but then start taking action. You know, read, study, experiment, validate, substantiate. All right, till the next show, to your health. We'll see you in a couple days. Take care.